Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Hercules and the Planetary Powers. Today, I'm very proud to announce the Urantia Book Edition. We will be exploring planetary mysteries within the Urantia book and its writings. We have with us Nick Curto, and we have Michael and Diane Duncan. Greetings and welcome, Nick. Greetings and welcome, Michael and Diane. And we just have
great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, great. Thank you, Hercules.
Yes, greetings.
And I believe that Gerald is here. Let me, pardon me, Gerald,
great.
Is that you? Gerald?
Hello?
Is this Gerald?
That sounded like a lady's voice.
Okay.
It is. I'm just listening to the show.
Okay. Fantastic.
Great. Well, welcome. Glad to have you here listening.
It's me, Diana.
Oh, hi, Diana.
Oh, Diana. Hi. Oh, good.
I'll put you back in the where you won't be heard. Okay, Diana?
Okay.
Thank you. Welcome.
Yes.
Diana happens to be a fixture here in New York City. She's had a television program for 35 years on Manhattan cable television.
Oh,
and I've been on her show many times, recently about a month ago.
Well, fantastic. Hey.
Does Diana know about the Urantia book? Would she like to be on this program?
You know, she does know something about the Urantia book. I don't know how extensive, though.
Okay, let me ask.
Oh, I would love to. Sure, if you want me on. I love you.
Oh, we would.
Good. All right, good then.
Thank you. Is it Diana?
Hi, yes.
Oh, good. I'm Diane.
We're like two blondes in the same movie. They'll confuse us.
I guess so.
And
I'm
Diana,
a brunette, so.
I'll add you to the list. Diana, what's your last name?
Montford. M as in mother, O, N as in Nancy, T as in Thomas, F as in Francis, O, R, D as in Diana.
Okay, I got it. There we go.
Okay. Great.
Awesome. So, and this might be, it doesn't look like Gerald's number, but I'll check after we start talking. Tonight the topic is the planets and the Urantia book. Back in antiquity, the word planet means wandering star. So you had the fixed stars in the fixed heavens, or the firmament, as they called it. And then you had these bright lights that didn't seem to follow the same rules as the fixed sky, the fixed stars. So they called them planets, which means wanderers or wandering stars. And the planets were the sun, the moon, and the sun and the moon were called luminaries because they were bright. And then they had, of course, Mercury, Venus. They didn't count the Earth because the Earth was terra firma. They had Mars, they had Jupiter, and they had Saturn. So those seven planets were initially named after Babylonian gods, and then later on they became named after other gods, and we got our days of the week from that. Sunday is dedicated to the sun, Monday is dedicated to the moon, Tuesday is dedicated in most places in Europe to Mars, or Tew, as he was known in Anglo-Saxon. Wednesday is Woden's Day, and Woden's Day was believed to be the Norse Hermes. Thursday was Thor's Day, and Thor is, of course, the character with the hammer. And he was equated most often with Jupiter because they're both thunder gods. Friday was Freya's Day or Frigg's Day, depending on who you're reading. And that was the Aphrodite of the Norse. She was the goddess of love and battles and so forth. And then Saturday was Saturn's Day, and it still is. So this is the system that the ancients had. And when they composed their theosophies with the rays, initially there were seven rays coming out of the crown of Helios, and each of these rays were one of these planets. They did not back then differentiate the rays with color as we do today, nor did they equate them with stones. That's a later development, but that's where you got the seven rays, the 7 days of the week, and that's why seven becomes a magic number and an unlocking key that unlocks very many mysteries. So because the Urantia book presents a lot of material that is theosophic and theurgic in nature, I was wondering if the Urantia book had a similar way of breaking down the government of our solar system, because in the old system, the sun was responsible for our outer world, represented divine power, divine vision. The moon represented our inner world, represented emotions and the tides. Tuesday was with Mercury communication. Wednesday with Odin was, again, communication. Thursday with Thor was leadership and vision. Friday with Freya was love. Saturn with Saturday was time. So that's how they divided the heavens in antiquity. That's also where in Marvel comics they got the Infinity Gems, which each of them had a particular sphere of power that molds our cosmos. So that's kind of like a universal standard in metaphysics. Those of you who have a background in theosophy are familiar with it. But does the Urantia book have anything similar to that? I guess I'll start with Nick.
Well, I think Diane should speak on this particular area because I think that she's got a lot of information on that. Diane, am I right?
Oh, well, you know, we've been working with the gods for so long now that we get a lot of different information. If you look at the Urantia book, they do talk about the transition worlds. And, of course, Hercules is talking about seven.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting, I've put this forth before, that transition world number one through seven are actually the headquarters sphere of Jerusalem. And, of course, we're saying that Venus is the headquarters of our solar system and that our solar system is Jerusalem. So in the Urantia book, it says transition world number one, Jupiter. You know, this is a finality world in the Urantia book with the seven mansion worlds. Of course, we are told that Zeus has a headquarters there with Neptune, although Poseidon Neptune does rule it. Number two, transition world, the Earth, the Urantia world. Of course, we're saying it's the Earth. The Urantia book says Urantia world. And, of course, we are here and we have our planetary prince. But we have transition world number three, which is the angelic world in the Urantia book. We're saying that's Mercury. And, of course, we're told that the angels are going to make a archangel headquarters there. Right now we have the Earth with some headquarters for them, but we're told later it'll be the archangel world. Transition world number four in the Urantia book is called the superangelic world, and that, we're saying, is the capital of Jerusalem. For people that don't know where in the Urantia book that is, it's the planet Venus, and that's what we're saying. That Gabriel and Aphrodite, that's Sanat Kumara in the Oriental religion. We're saying Venus is the capital of Jerusalem and that the whole seven planets that I'm listing here are the Jerusalem headquarters. So world number five in the Urantia book is called the world of the suns. We're saying that's Neptune. And Neptune is really ruled by Poseidon, but again, that's a higher octave, and the father, Zeus, does have a headquarters there too. Transition world number six, they say in the Urantia book, is the world of the spirit. We're saying that's definitely Saturn, ruled by Cronus, Andrea, lords of time and space. And transition world number seven, world of the father. And that's definitely Uranus, who is the father of us all, the holy first source and center in the Urantia book. So that's just a very simple and one place where we have the seven. Of course, Michael can talk about so many of the different ones, but I just wanted to give you that.
That makes a lot of sense, and I could see as you're talking, and you've already identified a few planets that there are correspondence between the transition worlds and the planets. So I'm going to Google that after we finish today and study up on that a bit more. Does anybody have anything to add to the transition worlds being our solar system and the planets in it? Nick?
I just wanted to say, Hercules, that there is some sort of feedback going on when Diane was speaking. I don't know if you heard that. Did you?
On my end, no, I didn't hear it, but I will check it out.
Yeah, there's a little feedback echoey thing going on, and it's just a little tiny bit disturbing. It's just not crystal clear. I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, I will test
I have to say, just at the beginning, when you were talking about the different derivations of the days, I love things like that. And I think that in general, in school, we never learned any of that, ever. Everybody just kind of assumes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the history of that, which is so interesting, is, I think, very seldom taught. Certainly in New England, we never got that kind of information. And I just think that's just something that people need to know about, you know, very simply what the basic navigating our planet and our history, things like that, I think, should be taught. I just wanted to put that in there.
Okay. That's a very good point. Okay, I tried isolating the noise. It's on the 212 line.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Okay. So sometimes that happens if somebody is too near another telephone or too near their computer, or sometimes when they're walking around, you know, there's different levels of, I guess, connectivity, and that makes a hissing noise like that.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Okay. Michael Duncan, do you have anything to add to the transition worlds?
Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you so much, Hercules, for having us today. And I just want to give a little context here about what Diane was saying, that, you know, we've been students of the Urantia Book for many years, and we've been in the Urantia Book community as leaders and as members since 2011. And we have been visited, and we have talked with many celestials that we find in the Urantia Book and some that you don't find in the Urantia Book. And I just wanted to say that we have a show on your, you know, with you as producer on CERN Radio. We have a show called The Sixth Revelation. So what we have done is we have studied the Urantia Book, but we have also gone a little bit beyond the Urantia Book, which is called The Fifth Epical Revelation. And what we're receiving from the celestials at this time, we're calling the sixth revelation.
Right.
So what Diane was presenting to you was Urantia Book knowledge, Urantia Book facts, but with a little bit more added to it based on information we've been receiving. So these seven transition worlds are, we're saying, these seven transition worlds are our solar system, and that our solar system is the headquarters of what's called a local system. And our local system that we live in, that our Earth is in, is called the local system of Satania. And we're saying that the capital of this local system, called Jerusalem, is the planet Venus on many different levels, you know, lower and higher octaves. But these seven transition worlds that she mentioned, Jupiter, the Earth, Mercury, Venus, Neptune, Saturn, and Mars, are these seven transition worlds that make up this headquarters of our local system of 1,000 inhabitable planets. And I just wanted to add that world number one is called the Finaliter World. This is in the Urantia Book. And then also in the Urantia Book, it talks about seven sub-satellites of this world. And the seven sub-satellites of this finaliter world are what are called in the Urantia book seven mansion worlds. And these are worlds that we go to right after death, generally, right after death to have some purging done and to prepare us for a higher soul journey on what are called on what is called the Urantia level of soul growth, or the Urantia level of ascension. And I wanted to add one other thing, that as you go up past this local system level and past the local universe level, you get this Urantia level, you get to a spirit level on what's called a super universe level. And this is where seven comes back in, Hercules. We have in the Urantia book that the general makeup of the grand universe is seven super universes. So there we have our seven again. We have our seven super universes, that basically wherein all of, finite creation happens, our ascension scheme and so on and so forth. So we have the seven transition worlds, seven mansion worlds on transition world number one, and, up on the top levels we have the seven super universes.
Wow. So it sounds like quite an elaborate schema.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules, if I could, I'd just like to kind of show Diana what we're talking about from the Urantia
okay.
book. In other words, I want to give you an idea of where we are. First, number one, you have the central universe, and that's Havona, 1 billion worlds. And then number two, you have the seven super universes, as Michael was talking about. And we are the seventh, and we are the one that is qualified by the ray, purple, the violet, in Theosophy, which is the violet flame of Saint Germain, and the mercy, the planet that has the most mercy, the super universe of that has. Number three, the outer space level, the first one. Number four, you have the second outer space level. And number five, you have the third outer space level. And number six, you have the fourth and the outermost space level. And the idea is that the central universe is the creation of eternity. The seven super universes that Michael was talking about are the creation of time. You know, you think of Cronus and Rhea,
yes,
the lords of time and space. Now, if we're saying that Cronus and Rhea are the second source and center in the Urantia book, but in the Greek, they're called Cronus and Rhea. The four outer space levels are destined to be the ultimate of creation. And the Urantia book also says there are additional and unrevealed creations that may bring about an ever-expanding and never-ending universe of infinity. Now, we are told that Zeus, or the local universe father in the Urantia book, he himself is going to make those outer space levels, and that we're told he's already beginning the plans for them. So I just wanted to mention that it is Zeus that's going to do it. And all of the evolutionary worlds will be raised and evolved to light and life, and when light and life occurs, then they will put them up there into those outer space levels, and they will be prepared by Zeus.
Thank you very much, Diane. And Diana, can you share a little bit about your background with cosmic philosophies and religions?
Yes. Well, I'm very familiar with Theosophy. I used to go to the Theosophy Center every Wednesday evening to their wonderful seminars. I am fascinated by what you're saying, by the Urantia book. It gives me great hope for humankind and all planetary races everywhere. that we are not a meaningless accident in the universe, that everything is part of a plan, that we are evolving. I hope that happens sooner rather than later. And it gives me great hope for the future for all of us on every planet to hear what you're saying.
Yes.
What part of the Urantia book do you resonate with the most? Everybody seems to have a part of the book that they are, that they find especially endearing.
I am not well versed enough to comment on that.
Okay.
I often read it piecemeal because, as you know, it's quite a thick book.
It's a big book.
And
yeah.
I enjoy reading it, you know, different parts at different times. What part of the Urantia book do you think would help someone who isn't an expert most?
Well, what do you think, Hercules? Did you want to answer that?
I'm not very well versed in it either. I've been reading it. We've been covering it on this show, but I would not. I don't know if I'm myself qualified to comment on it at this point. So yes, answer the question by all means, Michael.
Oh sure. You know, I'll tell you. What you should do is probably, you know, just go to the index at the beginning of the book and just kind of see if something piques your interest. You know, there are four parts to the Urantia book. There are, you know, four parts. You have the super universe adventure. You have the local universe adventure. The first two parts are about, you know, the setup. But the first part is called the Central and Super Universes. That's the whole thing that Diane was talking about, all of the super universes plus Havona and Paradise. If you like kind of cosmology and, you know, talking about deity and pre-deity and all that, part two talks about the local universe, like I talked about, of 10 million inhabitable planets.
Mm-hmm.
That's more near to us. Then part three is really interesting, Diana. It's the history of Urantia, and they call our Earth in this book, they call it Urantia. Part three is a really interesting history, taking you from the origin of this solar system and this planet throughout the human family, the evolution of religion, ethics, you've got philosophy, you've got science, talks about philosophy regarding levels of reality and thought, and you've got beings in there, celestial beings, really interesting things that you can just go in and pick out and just start
reading.
Well,
I've done that, and I think the fourth area of the book is the most resonant for me. And I've been reading it for roughly 15 years.
Wow.
And I think, frankly, we all get the Urantia book we need when we need it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what we did, though, was we started with the Adam and Eve, the story of Adam and Eve in part three of the Urantia book, because, you know, it talks about how Adam and Eve were, you know, celestial beings that came to our Earth to upstep the Earth and to help us in our ascension. And it really resonated when Diane and I were really starting to study a lot to show that, you know, there is hope. Like you talked about, there is a lot of hope that the Urantia book presents, because this Adam and Eve story is just one example of how the celestials are constantly keeping their eye on us and helping us, meeting us down here, while we are trying to reach up to them. And there's a real great relationship with celestial beings and with gods and goddesses, and it provides a lot of hope.
Nick also resonates very strongly with the fourth book, right, Nick?
Oh, boy, that is an understatement if there ever was one. Diana, I completely agree with you. That area of the book is so profound, so loving. It answers so many questions. You feel as though you're not reading a story. You are there. You are looking at those people. You are understanding their personalities. And that is a whole other dimension. I love that part so much.
Now, one of the things that Michael and Diane, through the Sixth Revelation and Maitreya's mission, one of the things they've been working on is a worldwide movement of love. And, of course, that is something that the Urantia book speaks of a lot, of love, especially the fourth book. How would you describe that movement, Diane and Michael? And then, I guess, from Nick and Diana, how would you add more understanding to the Urantia book part of it?
Okay, so first of all, Zeus is the local universe father. The Sixth Revelation is making that comparison that that Zeus in the Greek pantheon is the local universe father, also known as the creator son Michael of Nebadon in the Urantia book, who creates, upholds, and administers the local universe of 10 million inhabitable worlds. He has a consort named the Divine Minister of Nebadon. Together they create, they administer, and they uphold the local universe creation. They had usually a creator son and a creative daughter spirit. When they get together and they create, and they also create offspring. And the first offspring that they create is called a bright and morning star. And then brilliant evening stars are created, and Melchizedeks are created, and angels, and so on and so forth. Well, Zeus and Hera are, according to the Sixth Revelation, our local universe father and mother. The firstborn of the local universe of Nebadon in the Urantia book, factually, is named Gabriel. Gabriel is the bright and morning star. We are saying in the Sixth Revelation that Gabriel, the bright and morning star, is none other than Hephaestus
in the Greek,
but he is also Sanat Kumara in Neo-Theosophy. Now, Sanat Kumara is the leader of Venus. He's the god of Venus, our planet Venus, Sanat Kumara. He is the leader, and he has a consort who is Lady Master Venus, or Mother Venus, also known as Aphrodite. So Zeus and Hera, factually in the Greek, have a son and daughter, Hephaestus and Aphrodite. So put two and two together, Gabriel and Aphrodite, Hephaestus and Aphrodite, they are under the auspices of the local universe father and mother. At this time, they are shining their light upon us, their love and their truth upon us, and giving us a new pathway for humanity. We have fallen down. We are ready for a new pathway. Gabriel and Aphrodite are giving us the new worldwide religion of love. And this is a whole program, along with Lord Maitreya's efforts in his magisterial mission, the loving gaze of the local universe father and mother, to help turn humanity around, to transform us, to infuse divine love in our hearts through Aphrodite, Lady Master Venus, Mother Venus, and divine truth in our minds through Gabriel, Hephaestus, Sanat Kumara, etc. So, and they're in the process of doing that right now, and that's what we're getting through the Sixth Revelation, and that's what we've been expressing through our videos on YouTube, our team meetings, and of course, the wonderful platform that Hercules has given us on the radio.
Thank you. That was excellent. We're halfway through the show, so I'm going to give everybody a short break, and we're going to play one of Michael's songs, God Bless the World, We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Michael Duncan's God Save the World.
Uh-huh.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you, Nick.
God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world.
Is that you,
God bless the world. 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 God bless us all. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world.
Dear Lord, shine your face upon us and bless us, every one of us.
God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. Sing it with me now. God bless the world. God bless.
Greetings and welcome back to Hercules and the Planetary Powers. Today we have the Urantia Book Edition. We're with Nick Curto, Michael and Diane Duncan, and Diana Montfort. And we're talking about our solar system and its role in various cosmic philosophies, most particularly the Urantia Book. So we're going to go back to Michael and Diane first. And Michael, again, thank you so much for not only for the wonderful song, but for that wonderful explanation you gave. Diana, would you care to add anything to it, Diane?
Oh, do you talk to me?
Yes.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify here that Gabriel in the Urantia book is the divine administrator, and he not only is administrating from Jerusalem, and we're saying the capital is Venus, the planet Venus, but he has also brought the Tao to the earth. He has brought Confucianism to the earth. He has brought Buddhism to the earth. And he also gave the Quran to Muhammad. It was Gabriel. And the Muslims will tell you it was Gabriel. And that's in our history. So we're told that 90,000 years ago, Gabriel and his consort, Aphrodite or Mother Venus in Neo-Theosophy, they left Venus and came to the earth to save it, to be the salvation of the earth, and eventually brought all of these religions to it. And now, finally, Gabriel is bringing his last one, the worldwide religion of love, which began March 20th, 2020. And that very week, March 20th, is when my child, his school stopped. My husband was no longer able to sing in his church or be a minister or work in his school. That was the week. And we had been telling people for years that it would be March 20th, 2020. So Gabriel
wow.
is the one that has brought all of these religions to the earth, not just this new one after this, Maitreya's time will be over.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Sure.
All the people who have died since the COVID pandemic started, is there a reason for that? Are they not willing to be, on a subconscious level, are they not willing to be part of the, in effect, revolution of love? Or is
well,
it that...
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when you have died, because it just doesn't make any difference whether you're in the physical body or you are in your astral body. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, we were just told, we just gave a talk yesterday with Hercules, that the mother, Hera, she told us that every aborted child that has been aborted since the law went into effect in America, that her gift to them would be they would have at least 6 decades of life on the earth during light and life with friends and family. Maitreya is saying, and Apollo and the different gods are saying to us, it doesn't matter if you're not in the physical body on this earth when light and life occurs, they are still going to work with you. So we mustn't feel that the people that have died of COVID and of these terrible things, that that's an end for them. They are still being worked and loved and educated by the celestials, no matter. And, of course, Jupiter is where the 7 mansion worlds are, and, you know, that's in our solar system. It's just a continual school.
And, unfortunately, our show is too short to get into it, but there are a lot of resonances there with older Greek material, which I guess we'll share on another show. We were joined by Gerald during the break.
Oh,
please, Gerald.
Hi, everyone. Good to
Hi,
be here.
Hi, Gerald. Good to hear you.
Good to have you here. Hi.
I think you heard enough to jump in with a comment or an insight or three.
Well, gosh, the first thing that jumped out was the love that's coming upon the world and how does that affect us. But I wanted to comment, too, on the last question, which the answer could go on for many shows. But we're talking about cellular contracts. And the hard part for those in humanity, especially if there are loved ones or families who are making certain choices that we don't understand at all. I totally agree with what Diane is saying. They will all be taken care of, and they're following their own soul's journey. They're making their own choices. Whether it's conscious or not, they will be taken care of. I just wanted to add that tag on to what Diane had said previously. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you, Gerald. his words of wisdom.
And Diana, you're new to this particular conversation, which has been going on for a while now. Are there any questions you have to get clarity?
No, I'm fascinated by what I'm hearing, and it's clearing up so much just as I'm hearing it. And my mind is working overtime listening to this and imagining the possibilities.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, you were talking, Diana, about, you know, a great place to start in the Urantia book. I just wanted you to know that, you know, with the traditional type of Blavatskyan theosophy and this neo-theosophy also with, you know, 7 rays and 7 chakras and such, that there is so much in the Urantia book that that is in common with Hindu, with Buddhist, with theosophical ideas,
mm-hmm.
And Greek. A really neat thing that maybe you might want to think about reading is in part 3 of the Urantia book, there's a paper called The Supreme Being, and the interesting thing about the Supreme Being is the idea that, yes, we are all separate, or we seem like we're all separate, but in reality, we are all one. We are all one body, one collective, evolving together. We're evolving separately, seemingly, but we're also evolving together. It's kind of like the idea in theosophy of the grand man. You talk about the grand man, and that, you know, each of these solar system bodies or these systems of worlds, you know, are like cells in the body of the grand man, or they're like organs if they're a little bit more complex and more evolved in the grand man. And how important it is for universal brotherhood, because as the one grows, so the whole grows. And that's the idea of the Supreme Being in the Urantia book, is that the Supreme Being is a collective. It's a deity. It's a deity evolving in time and space, just like in the ideas of theosophy. That's really nice to know, and that's very hopeful. And it helps us to take our responsibility to not only grow ourselves, but to help others to grow.
This is Diane, and I wanted to know if I could just tell you just a very short story. Would that be all right, Hercules?
Absolutely, please do.
Okay. You were kind of inferring if the Celestials were involved in this pandemic. And the reason that I say yes, I'm not saying that they caused it or created it or any of that, but I'm saying, yes, they are involved. And I'll tell you a story. On March the 5th, 2020, now that was a little bit before the slowdown, complete stop, March the 5th, I was running upstairs to the upstairs bathroom to comb my hair, get ready to go pick up my child at school. And it was in the afternoon, about 2:30. No, that was regular day. This was early day because he was on, 12 o'clock, I'm sorry. Okay, so I ran upstairs and I said, okay, I'm going to run down to the school and pick up my child because I walk him home. I like to walk him home. So I ran up the stairs and I went up there, and all of a sudden I was surrounded by bars of light. They were about an inch thick around me and about 6 inches out, and I was totally encased in a chamber of light. There were flashing lights above me like a lampshade, and above that there was a lot of blue and blue lights. Now, I didn't know what was happening. I thought, oh, my golly, maybe I'm having an aneurysm or a heart attack or something. I didn't know what was going on. I also heard a lot of machine noise. Then all of a sudden, I saw the Father, the local universe Father. If you want to call him Jesus or Zeus or whoever, he was full size right in front of me. And I asked him, I said, you know, I'm so glad to see you because now I know it's not me. It's you know, I'm all right. I know that it's not physical. It's spiritual. And so I asked him what was happening. And as I talked to him, his message was, the world and you have to stop. You have to slow down. And you have to return to God. And that was his message. And I said, well, yes, but I'm really frightened, and I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And so then he reached out his arm and put his fingers and hand on my shoulder and on my forehead. And then I knew that I was free, and I was all right. I ran downstairs. I still had the lights above me somewhat, and I laid down. My husband had gone to pick up my child, and they were back and asked what happened, and I told them. So this March 5th was just a week before my child's school closed. My husband was no longer able to go to the church and conduct services and be the cantor in the church. It closed. And the school where he taught was closed. So I know that it was part of the celestial plan. I'm not saying they caused it or they want people to die or be injured or suffer, but I do know that they are managing it, they are controlling it, and they are involved because that is what happened to me.
And that's wonderful, but as you pointed out, even if we're not in the physical body, we still exist, we still grow, we still thrive, So it's really a conceit of this plane of existence, the earth plane, to think, oh my God, so-and-so died. There is no death.
Right.
So so-and-so did not die. She or he simply transitioned to a different form.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, and we are told that the gods are making those people a part of this new light and life, even if they are not in the physical, even if they are in the spirit, that they will be going through some kind of either training or life that these gods are involved in.
And you know, just to add something really short here, you know, this new worldwide religion of love is not just for our Earth either. It involves our whole solar system. You know, we're talking about the solar system tonight, and there are going to be programs. They're telling us there are going to be programs on Mars and Pluto, and like Jupiter. We're talking about Jupiter with the local universe father. They do have plans for all of the people from this Earth, whether they've died from the pandemic or not, what choices they make because of the pandemic, what choices they made before the pandemic, that it's a continuum. And all of these places have programs that the celestials are managing for our growth. And it's a really positive growth. It's a positive scheme. They want us, I believe, they want us all to succeed, you know what I mean? So it's a solar system-wide thing, and the Urantia book spells it out. It's not just our solar system where these schools are and this growth is. It's local system level, it's local universe level, super universe level, Havona Paradise, and beyond to the four outer space levels.
Many metaphysicians.
I just want to say that Gerald here is working on the Christ schools, so you might have some questions for him.
Well, many metaphysicians say that we are ascending from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. Does that something to do with what you're talking about?
That, Gerald?
Yes, and actually, Diana, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
I'm the one with the A, yes.
Thanks for the question. It's one of the things that it's good for us to keep in mind is that fifth dimension and beyond. Emphasis on and beyond. Because once we reach fifth dimension, all bets are off. It's really up to us to make all the choices about where we go from there. And it's up to our imagination. So the sky is the limit, so to speak.
And on that note, we have to start wrapping up. We have around 10 minutes left, and I want to give everybody a chance to share their contact information. So we'll go down the line as you appear on my board here. And please, if you can give us a concluding thought on the topic and then your contact information, that would be awesome. We'll start with Mr. Nick Curto.
Thank you, Hercules. I just want to suggest to the listeners of this podcast that part three of the Urantia book, The History of Urantia, is absolutely thrilling. I highly recommend it. And on paper 72, it's called The Government of a Neighboring Planet. That is absolutely must read. I've read that several times, and I just, every time I read it, I pick up more information, incredible insight about a planet very close to us with a lot of similarities. I just wanted to put that out there for the people who would be exploring our book. My email address, and if anybody wants to make a comment or suggestion or question, I'd be welcome to that. It is NICKNYNY1, and that's the numeral one, not O-N-E, but the numeral one at gmail.com. Again, NICKNYNY1 at gmail.com. And the Urantia book can be found on an amazing website for the fellowship. It's called I'm going to give you that. It's www.urantiabook.info. I'm sorry, .org. ranchabook.org, and it's an incredibly well-designed website. They recently redesigned it, and you can find the entire book on that website, including not only to read it, but to listen to it, which was an amazing feat that they've done. And also, the Rancher book is now in, I believe, 28 languages with more on the way. So it's welcoming to everyone on the planet, all the languages that are there interpreting the Rancher book. So I just wanted to go ahead and say that. Thank you, Hercules.
Thank you, Nick. And just to let people know, it's also on YouTube, you know, if you care to watch it and listen to it. So it's very easy to gain access to the book. Thank you so much. Michael and Diane.
Oh, hi. Yeah, thanks again, Hercules. We really appreciate it. And Gerald, it's a blessing to hear you again. And I wanted to say to Diana, just one thing, Diana, you know, that Diana and myself, we are theosophists. We're members of the American section of the Theosophical Society. We were mentored under Grace Kanoke, who was the leader of the American section a while ago, and under the General Secretary, Kirby Van Matter. And Diane is a disciple of Neo-Theosophy, Elizabeth Clare Prophet and Mark Prophet. And I just wanted to put my two cents in with the Rancher book.
Awesome.
Nick talked about neighborhood... government on a neighboring planet. I'd also encourage you to read paper 57 in part 3 called The History of Urantia. This paper 57 is called The Origin of Urantia, talking about how we came out of the super universe cloud called the Andromeda Nebula to get to, you know, to our solar system and our Earth. It's fascinating reading. It's wonderful. Our contact information is Michael Duncan, that's D-U-N-K-I-N, the number 1, at hotmail.com. Michael Duncan, 1, at hotmail.com. And I want you all to know that we just put up our 111th video on our YouTube channel. It's
awesome.
It's called Michael and Diane Duncan is the channel. And we just put up our team meeting from August 13th of this year. Talking about the light and life, the new golden age, and a special message from the local universe father. So check that out. And it's D-U-N-K-I-N, Michael and Diane with two N's, Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. Again, thank you, Hercules, and it's nice to meet you, Diana.
Thank you so very much, Michael and Diane, and I will give you a call in the next couple of days. Thanks a lot. Our special guest, Diana Montford, can you kindly share your concluding thoughts and your contact information?
I couldn't agree more with Nick. I have read paper 72. I found it, when I read it, I thought, yes, I knew this. Yes, I knew that. Whenever I read the Urantia book, I think, oh, I knew this. I knew that. I think it's lodged in all our subconscious minds.
Yeah.
I think I've read paper 57. It's been a while, but as I remember, I read it. I find the Urantia book thrilling and inspiring, and it confirms everything I think we all know and don't realize that we know. So I'm very happy to have been a part of this program. Thank you. I just tuned in to listen, because I always listen to Nick's wonderful podcast, but I guess the universe had other plans. So
We're so glad.
And it was great to have you. And I'll issue an open invitation. If you want to participate in these or other panels, just let Nick know, and we'll take it from there. And
absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And last but certainly not least, we have Gerald T. Farley. Do you have any concluding thought and your contact information, Gerald?
Thank you, Nick, and rather Hercules, and thank you, Nick, and Diane, and Michael as well, and it's good to meet you, Diana.
Thank you.
As far as the contact, you're welcome. As far as the contact information is concerned, you can contact me through Diane and Michael using their information.
We're very close.
Yeah.
We're close at heart.
One of the things that keeps coming up for me is there's, we're shifting drastically. My introduction and familiarity with the Urantia book started with the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. I went from the back of the book to the front, so to speak, and I'm glad I read that first because that's the one I was most familiar with. And then it kind of led me to the other three, the first three sections of the book. One of the things that we're going through that I just want to start is we go from, we have our human mind consciousness, and mm-hmm. then we have our heart mind conscious awareness, and then that goes to a heart powered super conscious awareness, which launches us into the first step of a whole new level of conscious growth. So I just wanted to mention that just to keep the thought going. And the last thing that I want to say is, Diane, every time you tell that story about meeting with Jesus, the rest of us get it. I mean, please keep telling that story.
Well, I have quite a few more with him. He saved my child's life, Diana. He actually saved my child's life, and it wasn't very long ago. So
wonderful.
And that's
so
why,
that's why I believe in him, because he saved my child's life.
I want to thank everybody. This was great. Again, as always, we didn't have enough time to really get into anything, but we've moved the conversation forward by quite a bit, and I'm looking forward to it continuing. Thank you all again, and thanks to all who tuned in, whether you called in and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And we are going to close with Michael's My Love for You is Forever. And again, thank you, Michael, for your wonderful music.
Thank you. Thank you, thank Hercules. You. Thank you all.
Much love to everybody out there. Much love.
Take care.
To you, Heavenly Father.
Freedom to dream eternal dreams in your infinity. My love for you is forever. My love for you is forever. Precious, I know, will always last. My heart, my life, and my soul I give you. My spirit sings and rejoices too. Devotion is all.